Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good. It's kind of a dreary day here, so this is a nice distraction from that.
Yeah, we always start with the weather. Although I'm coming off of a binge night, Friday night, where I stayed
Oh.
up way too late and finished off The Pitt, which is a show on HBO Max, kind of like an ER-ish show, which actually has one of the
Oh.
former stars, Noah Wiley, and it's, oh God, so intense. Two thumbs up. Just be
Great.
prepared. Be prepared. A lot of stuff and a lot of visuals because it's an emergency room. So if you don't like that kind of stuff, blood, don't watch it.
Yeah, I get kind of queasy with that, so that may not be my show, but thanks for the heads up.
No, it's very good. It's very good. Very intelligent writing. So
Nice.
anyway.
Well, you and I both like to be helpers and we enjoy helping people, but we can sometimes help at the expense of ourselves. And so we had an interesting conversation. I asked myself, am I a doormat? And you thought that might be an interesting topic for us both to discuss. So here we are.
Yeah, I do. Although, yeah, it's a journey from helping to doormat. So let's take that journey.
Cool. So I am in a position that I have more time than a lot of people. And I also am fortunate that I have some financial resources. And so I've been giving a lot lately. And I decided to come up with a list of criteria and questions that I wanted to ask myself before determining whether I really wanted to give something. And the first question is, am I giving because I feel obligated to give or because I really want to give? And we're both products of Catholicism. I went to Catholic school. Sheila, you grew up Catholic. And I think in part because of my Catholic upbringing, I always felt as if I was supposed to do the things that I was quote unquote supposed to do and rarely thought about whether I actually wanted to do them. And I feel like I've been able to shift from that. How about you?
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you said that is, obligated, which, yes, I am glad you hearkened to the Catholicism background because there's an awful lot of obligation in that way of looking at things. But that's kind of life when you live in a world with other people. You can't go through a life without taking on some sense of obligation. So, as I was saying, when you said obligated to do it or I really want to do it, I feel like I probably leaned into the first part a lot during my life, as you did. And now I'm kind of trying to go to the middle because I don't know if I would be happy to just always be doing something that I completely want to do without taking anybody else's feelings into account or how I might have a positive impact in the situation if I didn't totally lean into, do I really want to do this? So it's a learning curve. It's a continuing learning curve. I guess when you pose that kind of question, for me, it's more on a spectrum than it
Yeah.
is answer yes or no.
Well, and I should point out that none of these questions necessarily determine whether I'm going to do something. It's that I like to ask all of them and then assess. Because to your point, I mean, sometimes there are obligations that I want to fulfill. I don't really want to do it, but I want to fulfill the obligation. So, in addition to thinking about whether I feel obligated to do it, I also think about whether I am afraid of being judged if I don't do something, and then if I'm afraid of being judged if I do. And that came up for me recently because I was feeling like I really wanted to do something for someone. And I was afraid of being judged as being too generous in doing that. And so I didn't. And then I later found out in a conversation that that person would have accepted that and it would have made their life much easier. And while it might have been hard for them to accept it, because I was right and that they perceived it as being maybe even too generous, I didn't give something I wanted to give, and I made the other person's life less easy. I'm using a lot of deviled negatives in there, but
That's okay. It's
nonetheless,
okay.
yeah, that was a good lesson for me.
So I think when you first started talking about this specific question, I was thinking the judgment was going to be from somebody outside of the person that you might be wanting to give something to. But it sounds like you're talking about being judged by the person that you want to help to be generous to.
Well, I think it can be both.
Oh, yeah, but in the specific example you just gave, and I think it can be both. I agree. And so that's so in the first instance, the thought that came to mind is just a conversation before it, just like, is it okay if I do this? I'm sure you're going to be okay without it. It's something I'd like to do, but I completely understand if it's just too far for you or something like that. You know what I mean? And then it feels like that situation, you would not have had to struggle like you did. And then eventually you found out, yeah, it's okay. The person really was okay with it.
Right. And I also like to think about whether I will be resentful if I give something and receive nothing in return. Because oftentimes I've given and felt like I was doing it for altruistic reasons. And when I looked deeper into that, I realized that I was actually doing it for very selfish reasons because I wanted something in return.
Yeah, no, these are all really, I can't say I don't struggle with these myself. So, at those specific times, I'm not saying it's going to happen every time. Is there like, do you feel like you're doing something specific because you have something else specific that you want? Or is it more the case that you do something that's kind of generous, and then when something comes up that you would like that reciprocity to come in as effortless a fashion as you were giving, and it doesn't, is that where the resentment comes in? Essentially, it's quid pro quo. Like, is the quid pro quo immediately in mind, or is it, I really want this to kind of, it's like giving something with a little bit of a string.
Yeah, I don't know. The example that comes to mind is that in certain relationships, I've given in times when the other person was stretched, time-wise or money-wise or whatever. And I realized later that I was doing that maybe even subconsciously because I wanted them to help me when I was feeling stretched. And when they didn't help me when I was feeling stretched, I felt resentful. And so now I ask the question of, if I do this and this person is in the same situation that I'm in down the line, and they don't reciprocate in the way that I'm giving to them now, am I going to be resentful about that?
That very much resonates with me. And I've come to realize over all these decades that that's assuming that person has a very similar mindset or a very similar awareness of you that you may have of them, that they're going to know when you are in the same position that they are in. And especially if it's emotionally, I mean, if it's physically, if it's like, okay, very basic, you know, they need $100, you give them $100. Within a week or two, it's reversed. And you need $100 and they know it and they don't give it to you. Okay, that's clear cut. I don't think that's what we're talking about. It's more, you want them to be as aware and maybe empathetic to your needs as you are to theirs. And maybe they just are not wired that way. And it's not that they're not being reciprocal. They don't realize this is a situation that she wants me to be reciprocal.
And again, having a conversation up front, I think is important.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard. It's a lot of talk. So people don't like to talk. So you gotta also pick and choose and do it in a way. But I guess the point I'm trying to make in probably both of these two instances you gave is we assume a lot and resent a lot and make these judgments about what other people are thinking and then act on them. And it might not be the reality. But again, it totally resonates with me. And I've been in that position throughout my life where it's like, okay, come on. Look at all the times I'm saying this in my head. I've done this, 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 and you can't even do this. And it's like they have absolutely no idea. Because part of it could be because you put off the persona, whatever, of being so self-sufficient, they don't feel like it needs to be on their radar screen that you might need them.
And to your point about personalities, one example that comes to mind is when I was first married, my husband was working really long hours. I was picking up more of the household chores because he was working really long hours. And I just had this unsaid expectation that if I was working long hours, that he would pick up those chores just like I did. And then when he got into the position that he was taking a sabbatical and had a lot of time, he didn't do any of those chores. And we had never had the conversation. And I think it was just sort of a little bit of a personality difference in that it's not that he was a selfish person. It's just that he didn't really care that much if those chores were done. I was doing those chores as sort of a sign of appreciation for him, and he wasn't really receiving it as stuff that he really cared about.
It went right over his head. He was like, you were expending all this energy on something that you thought meant a lot to him. And bluntly, it kind of didn't, because that's just the way he is. Oh, I think it happens all the time that people create a situation of giving. And the giving that they create may be something they perceive the person wants. They certainly want it. You wanted to have a nice, clean house, or I think that's the issue here. And you felt like, well, I'm taking up the slack on that. And he didn't really care about having as clean a house as you wanted. And he really didn't get pleasure out of creating that. And I think you get two things I just said, you do get pleasure out of that. And the third thing is you were thinking he was getting pleasure out of it too.
I also try to tune into my intuition to see if my senses are telling me that I am being taken advantage of. I had this interesting conversation with a friend whose contractor on this project he was working on really took advantage of him recently. And I said, you know, sometimes when I look back on situations like that, I realize that there were a few things at the beginning of that relationship that made me feel uneasy that I didn't pay attention to. And sure enough, he had three things that he could remember right off the top of his head that were signs that this person might not be as much on the up and up as he wanted to believe. And he didn't pay attention to those things. And luckily, the way that this guy took advantage of him wasn't a huge issue. He just lost some time. But we are animals. It's like when dogs can sense things
Right.
that we don't sense. If we allow ourselves to tune into that
Right.
intuition, it can say a lot.
Right. Because a lot of times we operate in dealing with other people, we start off at a pretty nice level of trust, unless we're just totally suspicious people. And there are a lot of those out there. But I think for most of us, we kind of want to go in with the idea, okay, I'm a trustworthy person, I'm presenting like that. This person's presenting like that, but what they're saying, so I'm going to take that at face value until something kind of pings and goes awry. And it sounds like in this case, and you're talking about yourself from the past, there were a few pings as it was proceeding until you got to the big ping, the
Right.
big thing that just totally blew it out of the water. So I guess, yeah, if I continue that, you listen to the little pings. I mean, we call them red flags. Orally, it could be pings. I don't know. Feeling in your stomach.
Right.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
I want to just go back to the other one that we were talking about, where we talked about giving to somebody. I created two different scenarios, and we addressed the first, where it's somebody who you think might judge you for giving it to them. I'm curious about the second scenario. In terms of where you want to help do something for somebody, be generous to somebody, and then there are others who you're afraid are going to judge you for doing it. And that's not solved by the conversation that we talked about with the first person. Like, do you really want me to do this? Are you going to be happy? Are you going to judge me? I don't know that I'm advocating going to those people and saying, okay, I want to do this for this other person. You're an observer who sometimes I get judgment off of. Are you going to judge me for doing this?
Right.
I'm not advocating that because it's kind of none of their business. So how do you feel you can alleviate that?
Well, I think just asking yourself the question is important because I don't feel that that one is always obvious. As an example, I had a conversation with a friend who's in a new romantic relationship, and she's more extroverted than her partner. And she actually realized that she enjoys having some time out socially without her partner. And her partner really enjoys having some time alone without her. And so, one way that she could give to him is to make plans outside the house that don't involve him. That seems like a no-brainer, but she wasn't doing it because she felt like when she went out into social situations without her partner, people assumed that they were having problems or that whatever, they assumed whatever. She just didn't really realize that she had that fear of being judged.
Yeah. So it's the perception of these other people. She's doing something generous for herself with her partner. And then there's something in the back of her head that's thinking, but when I present by myself, are they going to think that? So now do I need to go into this whole explanation or what? And in that case, again, I'm not a therapist, but it's just banging in my head. It's like, they have no right to even have any of the. I mean, somebody going out by themselves without a partner shouldn't immediately elicit a reaction like, oh my God, they must be having issues because they shouldn't ever be separated.
Right.
I understand it. I do understand it because people do react like that, but I don't know that we want to feed that.
Right. I think just asking yourself the question. I had another kind of cool example of overcoming judgment to give. So I'm spending a lot of time in Paradise Valley, Montana. There's a decent amount of poverty here. And this woman who I kind of knew because her husband was working on a project for me, I didn't know her well, but her husband was just this really lovely, kind man. And he died suddenly. And I heard through the grapevine that she was going to have a tough financial situation after his death. And I wanted to give her a check. And I wanted to give her a check that would be a meaningful amount. And I was afraid of being judged by her because I, you know, especially in Montana, there's a lot of judgment against wealthy out-of-staters. And so I was afraid she was going to be like, who does this person think that she is just coming in? She doesn't even know me to be my savior. And then I was afraid that people around town would say, like, oh, can you believe this person that I, meaning, can you believe Elizabeth just thinks that she can write a check to buy sympathy or whatever? I don't know. I just had a lot of fear about judgment about it. And I decided that the chance that she might really benefit from a little bit of help was maybe greater than my fear of the judgment. And so I got up my nerve to give her this check, and she was so overwhelmed. She started crying and she said, "You don't even know me. I can't believe that you're doing such a kind thing to someone that you hardly even know." And since then, several people have said to me, like, "Hey, I heard what you did for this woman in town, and that was so generous. She said that you didn't hardly even knew her. Wow, thank you for doing that." It's really been a positive experience. And I was sure that it was going to turn out the other way, and I almost didn't do it. And now I'm so glad that I did.
Oh yeah, and you actually just proved our whole conversation that we've had, because it definitely had to start with her, that you had to go to her and say, "This is something I'd like to do. Just because I have the resources, it's not going to impact on my life at all if I do this," which is a tough concept sometimes for people to fully understand if they are low income, that giving a fair amount of money or even any money to someone else is not really going to impact on their life at all. So just having that conversation, including what your motives are and all of that, and then having her react in such a positive manner, then I think kind of led to the positivity coming from the third party peanut gallery people, because it was how she responded. If you had gone to her and had this conversation, or just given her a check, not even gone and had a conversation, just sent her the check without talking to her, and she did not respond positively, then how else would these other people know it? They would know it because she told them. And they're knowing it now because she's so positive about it, she can't keep it to herself. I don't want to rain on the parade. There could be people in the community who she tells in such a positive way who could have that attitude that you talked about that's negative. Like, who do they think they are? You know, they don't come and say it to you, thankfully, but that's their problem because this was something between you and her.
And
And if,
sometimes the benefits of the gift just are going to outweigh the negative consequences. So I try to think about that too.
yeah, that's just it. And again, if it kind of goes back, I think the theme is if the people who are directly involved are okay with it and have had the conversation that establishes they're both okay with it, then the other stuff just isn't important. Like, if you had gone online and created a GoFundMe for her without asking her permission, put your name front and center, said, "I want to do this, and I'm the first person," publicized it, and this happens, that's a totally different scenario. And that's where the judgment I think can come in.
Yeah.
And when it comes right down to it, I don't know that that's what we're talking about. I mean, I'm not saying we never have non-altruistic motives for giving, but I think for both of us, we do appreciate how it makes us feel in terms of just helping for the sake of helping.
Right.
But that's not always the case. You know, again, trying to find the balance inside of ourselves. Why am I doing this?
Right. And I definitely don't always get it right. There are times in which I have allowed myself to be a doormat. I would say my most persistent pattern is that when something bothers me, when someone's doing something that I feel is taking advantage of me or is hurtful to me, I will just sort of swallow it rather than address it. And there's this concept of a withhold, which is if you have a thought three times and you don't share it, it's considered a withhold. And so with all of my close relationships, I try to now out my withholds. And I had this experience the other day that somebody close to me was doing something that was kind of hurtful. And I knew that it was unintentionally hurtful. And so I had a hard time bringing it up because I felt like, you know, they're not willingly and consciously hurting me, so I should just let it go. But it was hurtful. So I got the courage up to say what was hurtful, and I said, "Would you be willing to stop doing that?" He stopped and thought about it for a minute, and he said, "I hear you. I hear why you're requesting this, and I'm actually unwilling to do that." And he explained why. And I did see his perspective, but also disagreed with his perspective. And so I said, you know, I'm going to think about this a little bit and think about whether it's a deal breaker. And I thought about it and decided I could actually accept that he was unwilling to do that. But it felt like a really healthy way to address it, which is the way that I've done it in the past. I've kind of just swallowed it until it exploded out.
The three things, I like that whole thing about withholding. If you have the thought three times, the story kind of took a little bit of a turn for me. I didn't think it was going to end that way because I don't know. I took a breath when you said you had the conversation and you said, this is really hurting me. And essentially, the end result of the conversation was, well, I'm hearing that. I'm hearing it's hurting you, but I'm not willing to stop doing it. And I guess for me, I could understand someone having that reaction that, you know, this is what you want. It's hurting you, I understand, but this is what I want, without having that little extra on the end, like, well, maybe we can come to a compromise so it won't hurt you as much, or we can figure out why it's hurting you and I can adjust a little. So it's like a win-win, like compromise.
Yeah, and I didn't go into that, but we did come up with something else that was kind of bothersome to me that he was totally accepting of and willing to change. And so that felt like a little bit of give. But on this particular thing, he's not willing to give. And I do understand his perspective and I accept it. And he's requested things of me in the past where I've been unwilling to give. And so I just feel like sometimes there's things that you can't compromise on. And you just
Yeah.
have to be honest with yourself about whether that's a deal breaker or not. And if it is, I think you need to go.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I struggle with the hurt concept. You know, knowing you're hurting somebody. But again, you know, maybe this is a moment where when you have self-examination, say, why does it hurt me? Because maybe that's part of their attitude. That I don't know why it hurts you. It shouldn't hurt you.
Right.
And so it's all about the conversation. So in terms of kind of understanding the totality of all of this, because you started out by saying, am I a doormat? Was where the questions came from. And a doormat, essentially, you know, I mean, just people step all over you. And I have to say, that's not ever been my perception of you, Elizabeth. And so I don't know if you're hiding it very well, or it's just certain people bring it out in you.
I do think that some people trigger me more than others, but I am really good at being even keeled when I'm upset. And a lot of times, people who are really good at being peacemakers, at making sure that everybody comes to a compromise and that everybody is comfortable, can often be stepped on the most because they're sort of trying to keep the peace at the expense of themselves. And I do have that pattern. I don't think it's to the point that I'm putting myself in an unhealthy situation, but I do have that pattern. And in fairness, I think I've put myself in some unhealthy situations in the past, short-lived, but nonetheless unhealthy as a result.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it goes back to that. One of the things that came to mind as you were talking, when you say, like, you want to be even keeled, keep it back, be a peacemaker. But what you're losing and how you're kind of being unfair to the other person is you're not being authentic.
Right. Yeah, that's a great
And,
point.
and that's why I asked, based on my own perception of you, it's like, are you keeping things in? Because I don't want that.
Right.
I mean, that hurts me. It hurts anybody to think somebody is not being totally authentic with them.
Yeah, I've had a couple of situations in which someone's waited months or even years to tell me something that I was doing that was hurtful to them or that was even annoying to them. And that felt terrible that they had been holding that in and didn't tell me.
Yeah. Because you think of, oh my God, all that time. And then you have to think of every single time you've done something hurtful and you had no idea.
Right.
So I don't know. How do you feel like the conclusion of all this, the question, am I a doormat?
I don't think that I am a doormat. I think that I need to continue to ask myself the question of whether I'm a doormat in this situation, in the particular situation. And I think I just need to keep having conversations both with myself and others to make sure the things that I want to give are going to be helpful and that I'm giving them for reasons that I realize rather than subconscious or for things that I'm fooling myself about.
And that it's not all or nothing. It's not, I'm giving and it's all going one way.
Right.
It's again, I'm in love with, the whole concept of a spectrum. And it's like, okay, it may be 75% me giving, 25% the other person, the reaction I eventually get meets it. But I think we've had this conversation in other episodes where ultimately kind of adds up, centers out, whatever centers is the pivotal word, to like 50% over a long period of time. Then to me, that's successful.
Yeah.
As you said, you have more time and resources right now. There could be a point where maybe it's not time and financial resources, but where somebody else has more of something that you are lacking that they could
Right.
give. And then that helps that 50% to be achieved.
Right. Do you have any closing thoughts, Sheila?
No, that's I hope this conversation has been helpful. It's been helpful for me because I've probably done a lot of this inner work in my head over time. So that's why I feel like this is mostly coming from my own self-exploration over years and years of recognizing that I need to ask myself these questions. But thank you for, having it be something that we get to explore.
Well, your thoughts were helpful as always, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Yeah, me too. And okay, so the pit's not for you. All right, I'll move on.
All right.
All
Bye,
right.
Sheila.
Bye, Elizabeth.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.